This is part B of
how did we get into this economic mess. Now continuing on in Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Always remember this. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. And I think we've seen some days of wrath economically, haven't we? But righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. See, just like we read, God is going to bring our own evil thoughts upon us as a nation collectively. Now let me just say this. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own lust. Now let me just say this. There are a good portion of people, but they are no longer the majority, who are trying to do what is right. However, they are being overwhelmed. All you have to do is look at the representation in the House of Congress, House of Representatives and the Senate. Look at the majority and look at the minority. There are some in the minority who are talking some decent things. Not all, but some. There are some religionists who are teaching some things of God. So God is going to honor that part of what they do, but nevertheless, we all live in the society, and the majority now, the tipping point is that there are the proportion of more wicked, blatantly wicked people and sinful people are in charge and are the majority. So God judges according to that, but he also says, say to the righteous that it will be well with them. So this is why it is also a good time to preach the gospel from this point of view. When people are in trouble, they're looking for answers. And maybe they haven't been trying to find God, but maybe through this thing that may help them to decide they need to. So that's a good point that we need to look at. All right, now let's come back here to Jeremiah 17. Hold your place here in Proverbs. We'll be back. So if you want to put a marker there, we'll be back. Okay? Come to Jeremiah 17. We're going to see what God says about this and the heart of man and so forth. And we are going to see that this is absolutely true all the time, always has been. Now, let's notice the comparison. Let's start here in verse 5, because I want us to understand this. God can reach down in the midst of great trouble and spare his people. Doesn't mean they won't have difficulties. It's just like the man who insisted on keeping the Sabbath all during World War II. And he survived, and he did a lot of things. I just got the DVD. I need to watch it. And he received the Medal of Honor. So I need to find out what it is. But that is a good example. God can protect you in the most dire circumstances. It doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy and have everything in the presence of difficulties and problems. No, it just means God is going to watch out for you and take care of you. Verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. So when you get God out of the government, out of the schools, out of everybody's daily life, who do they trust in? Man. And I need to make a comment concerning the Constitutional Convention, which may be coming up. They are going to destroy the Bill of Rights. And they are going to destroy the acknowledgement of God that is in our present Constitution, and the God will become the government. And they will trust in men, and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now we've been talking about trees. Notice this. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, not a tree, a shrub. And shall not see when good comes, but he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land that is not inhabited. Now here's the contrast that God wants us to understand. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its roots by the river, and it shall not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage shall be green. He shall not worry in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. You're going to keep developing the fruit of God, which is where we're going to go in this and end up. What are the true riches? Because that's what we need to focus on. Now notice the next verse. You've heard this over and over again, but you're going to hear it over and over and over again. This applies to every human heart everywhere. And the only way we can overcome it is with the Spirit of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. God does. I, the Lord, search the heart to try the reins. Now, the reins is God's way of saying that he can check up on you at any time, test you. Even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Now, isn't that where we started? Good tree produces good fruit. An evil tree produces corrupt fruit. Always happens. As the quail that hatches eggs, it has not laid. In the same way, he who gets riches, not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and in his end, he shall be a fool. Now that describes what's happening. That is a perfect description of Wall Street and the bankers and the con people and all of those who deceitfully bought houses by putting down income they never had and they knew they never had. And all of those who get things by lying and cheating and fudging and things like that. Never work. So the remedy is this. If you're caught in that trap, there's hope because you can repent. You can change. But you have to return to God. You can't have your own way of doing it because God says that's like whitewashing. So God says he's going to judge it. He's going to take care of it that way. Yes. He shall leave it in the middle of his days. And in his end, he shall be a fool. Okay, let's go on. There's a whole lot more we're going to get. Let's come here to Proverbs 15 and verse 27. Proverbs 15 and verse 27. Let's go back to verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to God, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, and he who hates bribes shall live. Now, what does this mean? Exactly what it says. Whenever anyone is greedy to do things, does it affect everybody in his household? Affects her husband, his wife, the children. It affects their job, affects everything that they do. Is that not right? Yes. Now, the gain may not necessarily be just money. It can be power. It can be prestige. It can be gambling. It can be even illicit sex, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. Troubles your whole house. It can be drugs. It can be any of those things. And those who get involved in them, they just need to stop and think. Are you troubling your house? Are you troubling your family, your children? Well, you can put an end to it and repent. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Here's another promise, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He will hear your prayers. you can turn your life around. Let's talk a little bit more about illicit wealth. Let's come back to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy 6. Now, this is very descriptive. Verse 9, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, page 1220. For those who desire to become rich fall into temptation and a snare. Now, did that happen? How about all of those people that put their money in with Bernie Madoff? Did they want to become rich? Yes, indeed. Saw some of the interviews. They ought to interview more than just Bernie Madoff victims. There are a whole lot more other victims out there, you know. But it showed them, and they lost everything. Everything. They put everything in there because they would make more money than you normally would in a financial market. So they had their greed, and they were following Bernie Madoff's greed, and they wanted to get more back, which is then getting something for nothing. Now, they didn't think of it that way. But you see, did they fall into temptation and a snare? Did it get them? Yes. And many foolish and hurtful lusts, which cause men to sink into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evils. That's why you need to learn how to handle money, manage money, not get caught up in lust, not get caught up in extravagance. A root of all evil and a root of many temptations. And one temptation leads to another temptation, which leads to another temptation. And in the case of gamblers, that is called gambling addiction. They just can't stop. I've heard of people who, men and women both. They know they shouldn't go to Reno, but they do, or Las Vegas, but they do. And they say, well, I won't gamble. I'll just go in and eat. But when they walk by these machines with all the lights and all the bells ringing, and they smell the drinks and they smell the cigarette smoke, it just draws them in, and they've got to gamble. They've just got to gamble. Then they come home broke. Many sink into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evils, by which some, while striving after riches, were seduced from the faith and have impaled themselves with many sorrows. Now that is very descriptive. Because impaling is normally done from the exit of the digestive system with a sharp pole all the way through your body and out your mouth. Now notice the encouragement here, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called, and did profess a good profession in the presence of many witnesses. So there you go. Very descriptive, isn't it? All right, now let's come back to the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs 11. So as you can see when we're going through this, that there's an awful lot in the Bible about money, finances, honesty, good business, etc. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. He who trusts in his riches shall fall. Just like there in Luke 12, the man who had great crops said, what am I going to do? I'll tear down my barns and build greater ones. And I'll say, hey, I got it made for years. Just like today. Getting these IRAs and getting these 401k accounts. Make lots of money. Well, some people have seen 30, 40, 50, 60% of their retirement gone. Why? Because of the 30-to-1 ratio that they had. Gone. Just evaporated, just like it says. It flies away. But the righteous shall blossom like a branch. Now notice, all the way through we have comparison of the good and the evil, the righteous and the wicked. the right use of wealth, the wrong use of wealth. Since we're here in Proverbs, let's come to one more, Proverbs 23. And I think this describes also what has happened to the stock market. They have said that the Americans have lost, with this downturn in the economy so far, at least $11 trillion in paper wealth. $11 trillion. All right, Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not weary yourself to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. For when your eyes look upon it, it is gone. For surely riches make wings for themselves, and they fly into heaven like an eagle. Just disappear. Isn't it interesting? What do we like to have on our dollars, and what is over our flag? An eagle flies away. It is gone. It is gone. Now let's look at some other things. I tell you, this is really, really interesting. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. So you can get a lot out of the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs, which you ought to really try yourself, which is this. It programs your mind, because every time you think, you're programming your mind. And the way that you program your mind correctly is to do this. You have the truth of God, you know what is right, and you know what is wrong. And so the book of Proverbs is good and evil, righteousness and sin, all the way through, programming your mind to know what is right. And what actually happens, your brain will reconnect itself with right thoughts. So here, Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, because every good tree brings forth good fruit. It's like a tree of life. And what is it? What did we read about? What did we read about the righteous? They'll be like a tree by rivers. Tree of life. Very, very interesting. And he who wins souls is wise. But the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. How much more the wicked and the sinner? So now's a good example of why God said, do not envy the wicked who prosper in the world. Where are they now? A lot of them bankrupt. Okay, we'll stay here in the book of Proverbs. Let's come to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Now notice how this is to give us the understanding and programming of our minds so we can think correctly. See, the truth is we need to learn to think with the Word of God. Think with the commandments of God. Think with the Holy Spirit of God. To lead us. That doesn't mean you're going to overcome all evil and all evil thoughts at once. You're not going to. That's a lifetime program of overcoming. But notice, my son, do not forget my law. Let it be in your conscience, so when temptation comes along, that's going to guide you, so you will say, no, I ain't doing that. But let your heart keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Now, just an aside. I've got some study material I need to get into. But the average length of life of a homosexual male is about 42 years. Because of all of the diseases, they're disease-ridden. Good example. If you follow the commandments of God, you have length of days. You want to die at 45? You want to die at 42? How about those who get caught up in drugs? How about those who go out and join gangs and murder and kill and lie and cheat and steal? Do they live long? Well, if they get in prison, they may have a life sentence, so they might live there quite a while. Verse 3, do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart, and so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So here's what to trust in, not riches, because that's going to lead to a lot of temptations and sin and destruction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You must check your thinking with the Word of God. That's how God expects us to govern ourselves. Satan's way is, let everyone do whatever they want and let's have a massive police force. And let's have surveillance and we'll make them do what's right. Now you're to govern your own self. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. And in directing your paths, those are the things which God will do to, because you make the right choices, He's going to bless you in the way that you will go. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel. That's all your inward parts. And isn't it interesting how many sins lead to sickness and disease? Yes. And marrow to your bones. And marrow is what gives you the production of new blood. Now, Dolores and I saw a special on this poor little girl. She was born with some sort of rare cancer to where her bones were not producing marrow, and it showed how that the bones are continually remaking themselves and repairing and everything, and they almost lost this girl because the bones were growing thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, and her whole skull was getting thicker, her eyes were bulging, and she'd roll her eyes and you'd see dark blue in there on the whites of her eyeballs, and the vessels on her temples standing out and so forth. And they must have spent $500,000 to revive her. She spent. So she was in a hospital a long, long time. I don't exactly remember the length of time, but she was in and out of the hospital. And one doctor finally diagnosed it, and all the other doctors they went to didn't know anything about it, but the baby had terrible pain because the bones were growing, and it was crying, 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 crying. You go to the pediatrician and say, oh, well, it's got colic or whatever, you know. And it was really something. But here, you know, you look at what is the number one problem that we have in America today? Health problems, right? And who's going to come to the rescue? The government with health care. You don't need the government to come to rescue you. You live God's way, and that will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor God with your substance. That is part of God's way. People who do not tithe or give money, and we'll see another proverb about this a little bit later on. Honor God with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, I'm not going to give a full-fledged sermon on tithes and offerings this year because of the economic situation. But when economics are tight, just one word of caution, don't fudge against God. And your barn shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the gain from silver, and its produce more than the gain from fine gold, because it leads to life. How many people take all their life savings, they're going to retire, and then some disastrous health problem hits them? Bam! And it's all gone. So these are things we need to think about. All right, let's come here. We're still in Proverbs. Let's come to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. And let's pick it up here. Verse 10. Only by pride comes contention, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be taken away, but he who gathers by labor shall increase. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. So here again, going God's way is like a tree of life. Proverbs 15. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Now, we had the sermon about the seven eyes of God. God knows. Beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So what I'm trying to get out here is this. If you live God's way, it's going to be like a tree of life to you. But perverseness in it is a wound to the spirit. Now, there's some other scriptures in Revelation which talk about the tree of life. Now, let's look at some Psalms. Psalm 49. Okay, Psalm 49, verse 1. Here's God's message to all of us. Hear this. All you people, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and it's all recorded here in the Bible. And the thoughts of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear, David writes, to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the lyre. Why should I fear in the day of evil when the perversity of my supplanters surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and in their many riches boast themselves, but a man cannot at all redeem a brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, or for his own life either. We could add that in there. Verse 16. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he shall take nothing with him. His glory shall not descend after him, though during his life he blessed his soul. Yea, men will praise you when you do well to yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. So, always consider that. Don't be envious of the rich. All right. Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 7. Now, this tells us how we need to approach God in all things. Verse 7. Behold the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. He strengthened himself in his wickedness. That's what we're seeing happen. It's a good description of Wall Street. But I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. All of these things are for us to learn. How do we live our lives today in the light of all the problems and difficulties that we see going on? How do we survive? People are going to become unemployed. Look at it this way, as an opportunity to improve. People are going to have to change jobs, maybe change occupations, maybe learn a new trade. But all of those things, if you follow along and take advantage of every difficulty that comes as an opportunity, you'll be able to see your way through it. All right, Psalm 61. And here's what we need to do. Need to continuously look to God, pray to God, ask for his help, ask for his guidance, and especially when we see things the way that they are in the world today, because we don't know how it's going to go. we can hear dire reports. Maybe all of them will come true. Maybe all of them won't come true. So we need to be ready. Psalm 61 shows us how we need to pray. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. So don't let any of these things and problems overwhelm you. Remember, God always provides a way out. Lead me to the rock higher than me, and that rock is Christ. And it's interesting throughout the Psalms how much it talks about the rock being God. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower before the enemy. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the hiding place of your wings. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? Remember what Jesus said when he came and looked at Jerusalem when he was going in for the time just before the Passover when he was going to be crucified? And he was on the top of the Mount of Olives, just as it was descending down into the Kidron Valley and then over toward the temple. And he looked on Jerusalem and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a mother hen would gather her brood? Protection, the hiding place under your wings. But you refused. Psalm 62. This is a good psalm. This is what the attitude that we are to take. And the next one I'm going to give the economics, as it were, of the true riches. What are the true riches? And what should we strive for? Psalm 62, verse 1. Only for God does my soul wait in silence. From him comes my salvation, because he's your life, he's your health, he's your creator. He gives you every breath of air that you have. He only is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I will not be greatly moved. Doesn't say you won't be troubled at times. Doesn't say you won't have difficulties at times. Says you won't be greatly moved. And notice what he was up against. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? And he's talking about himself. How long are you going to imagine mischief against me? That's what David was writing about here. You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. And when you least expect it, it falls. Surely they have plotted to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Boy, I can't think of anything that more describes our political system today, the way that we have it. Selah. And Selah means, think on this, meditate on it, which is, you take these verses, and you think of how many ways you can apply them from the things that you see in your life. Verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for from him comes my hope. He only is my rock. Now notice, he said it up here in verse 2. He only is my rock. Up here, Psalm 61 in verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now back here, Psalm 62 in verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation and my strong tower. I shall not be moved. There's another psalm which says, my heart is fixed. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Now, this is why we need to have this kind of understanding of God. Because notice the next verse. Trust in him at all times, regardless of your ups and downs and difficulties that you may go through. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Take your troubles, go to God, pray about it. He will hear you, he will answer, and he will answer in the way that will be best for you, and he will work in your life, and you just will be able to see that. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So again, think on it. You go 1, 2, 3, 4 verses Selah. 1, 2, 3, 4 verses Selah. So the Psalms were made so you read them, you get the understanding of them, but you meditate on them, you think on them. That's what Selah means. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. Boy, I tell you, in this collapse of Wall Street and business and the government intervention and everything, look at that. Men of high degree are a lie. Well, you watch some of the confirmation hearings and you can find that out. When weighed in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Good description of Washington, D.C. and Sacra Tomato over here in California, whatever your capital city is in your state. Or Chicago or Springfield. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. Here's the key. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them, nor squander them. Use them wisely. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work. So we've seen some of the good and the evil of the financial situation that is going on. And we need to always look to God and trust in Him and pray all the time, daily, asking God to help us, to guide us, to lead us, so we will know what we need to do to bless us and help us in all our circumstances. So next time I will talk about the economics of true riches. And it's not gold and silver. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.